Hello and welcome to Colin Bradley Artcast. I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
Just adjusting your glasses
yes,
there.
Yes, I'm just
quickly.
A bit of adjustment, yes, making sure that I can see properly.
Not like last week where you're just doing your own little thing while you...
No, I've got my woolly jumper. It's cold. It's turning cold now, isn't it? So I understand by the weekend in the UK, and it's certainly where we are, it's going to be pretty nippy. So I'm preparing the way.
Getting lots of layers on. It's cold here as well. I'm in the cabin out in the garden, and the heating's on here just to try and take the edge off it, because it is chilly. It's very chilly. I got covered with blankets as well and all sorts, trying to be nice and warm. But it's either do the podcast in here or do it in there with a baby just in the background, which I'm sure people would probably find quite funny. But
I'm sure they would. Yes,
might be a bit chaotic. How are you anyway, Dad? How are you?
Okay, Steve. Yes, soldiering on and carrying on the best that we can at the moment. But things are working out. That's the main thing. Christmas is not very far away now, so all of those preparations are underway as well. Quite a full on time at the moment for everyone, I'm sure.
You're still managing to squeeze in some work as well, some new pictures, and some time in the studio, even with all the stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't have too many problems with that, because I don't. In the old days, I used to work from longer hours, but now I don't have that concentration now. I only work for an hour, maybe two, and then I take a break. That's the lovely thing about this, because I don't have to put anything away. I just close everything up, switch all the cameras off and so on, and then I'm walk out and walk back on again, and of course pick up where I left off. It's very handy like that. I mean, if it was watercolour or oil or even acrylic, I'd have a preparation work before I start, and then I have to sort of wind down as well. But I don't have to do that with the pastel pencil. You just put the pencil down and pick it up again. So it does. It's very handy, and suits me at the moment, because, as I say, I don't work long hours. In that case, I can fit them in, easier sometimes in the evening, sometimes early in the morning. It depends. And I'm sure people, when they see the video, they don't realise that, and they wouldn't realise that, because it's always in the same position. So it's very handy.
Lovely, lovely. Well, you have a new picture that we're going to talk about today, which is lovely. So we're going to pop that on the screen now. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about this one, Dad. It's beautiful. Another one of your dark backgrounds as well.
Well, again, I've been wanting to do another lion, and I think I mentioned to you earlier in this year that I was thinking of doing another lion, but I was put off slightly. I don't know why. I thought, same old, You've got to be careful, otherwise it's like a production line, same thing keeps popping up. But when I saw this one, it was different in as much as the background, as you say, it was dark. And there was a hint of a shadow picture on it, as you can see, with the bottom right-hand side. And I thought, that's rather nice, that sort of little bit of mystique creeping in there. But it was a lovely picture. And I knew, even before I started, that it was going to be tricky, because there's a lot of colours in there, and it was an unusual colour. I know the lions are more grey and fawny, really, but you have to keep faith with the photograph. If you're working on a photograph, I've said this so many times, if you're working from a photograph, you've got to keep faith with that photograph. You can't go off at a tangent and say, oh, that's not right, that colour, so I'll change it. Because as soon as you change one colour, you've then got to change all of them. So I always say that best to keep faith with the photograph. After all, if a photograph attracts you, as it did with me in this case, then it's going to work if you produce that as best you can with in art form. That's the way I look at it, and I think I've always done that way, and it's the easiest way, really. But I was very taken with the poise. Lions are very proud animals, and this one seemed to be exhibiting that, you know. Don't mess with me, you know. I'm the king of the jungle and all that sort of thing. Well, this seemed to come through with that picture. And I thought, if I can bring that out in art, then so much the better. So that's how I was attracted to it.
Well, this definitely feels like an amalgamation of your shadow work and coloured work, because it really does resemble your shadow pictures, but with the saturation just cranked up a bit. Tell me about the background. Did you use the same kind of colours that you would normally use on a shadow picture for that background?
No, completely different, actually. What happens is, when I start the picture, I usually know by the time I get certainly the top of the head done, I know the colour tone that I want to create in the background. Because you know that you've got there was a colour there. I can't remember the colour. I'm trying to remember the colour. It's a Caran d'Ache colour, but I can't remember it now. But people would see it, and I make it very obvious. I use that colour for deepening. If you look at the ear particularly, there's a very dark area in the ear, and that's what persuaded me. I looked at that, and when I'd finished doing that, with the help of this pencil, there were several pencils involved in this, I thought, now I've got my background. See what I mean? So you have to wait and be patient. You couldn't put the background on ahead of time because you're not sure of the colours that you're going to be using. And in this case, I knew as soon as I put that colour in the ear and played with it a bit to get it as I wanted it, as representation of the photographic reference, I knew that the colour that I had to put in. Then the difficulty then lies in how many colours do you put on? As you know, with my backgrounds, certainly in shadow pictures, there's usually only a couple of colours I use. And I thought, right, well, if I can get away with just two colours, and that's all there is in that background, then I've got a winner on my hands. And bear in mind, when I do the shadow pictures, I've got the dark grey pastel matte paper, so I already had another colour, effectively. Now, in this case, it was the sand coloured paper I'm using on this, so I didn't have that advantage. So I thought, I wonder if this is going to work. Anyway, I put that first colour on, the sort of mauvey tone, mauvey reddy tone, and then I put the black directly on top of that, and it worked. That was it. And that's the only two colours I used, and it was absolutely... It was a stunning colour. But then you have the difficulty of the lion's fur closing up on that background. You see what I mean? So, and I show this extensively through the picture, how I actually get away with that. But it's interesting. And when I sent you the picture, I said, I've learned a few more techniques, and this is one of them. And I'll explain to you if you like, and I'm sure people would be interested. If you're looking at particularly at the top of the head, where you have a kind of shadow that leads back into the background. Well, that's done by, when it starts out, it's chalk and cheese. It's light colour and dark colour, and you've got no in between. So what you have to do is bring the background colour into the animal. And that's scary, because if you look at the light colour there, you're putting the black and the mauve colour, you're putting that back into, with the colour shaper, you wouldn't use your finger. And that's scary, because, oh my goodness. But it worked, and you can see it worked really well there. So that's another technique that people will see, and will be able to use it, I'm sure, in other things as well. You don't necessarily have to have a dark background for this. You can use it if you've got a sort of mid-tone as well. You can use the same principle that I've used there. So people, I think, are going to find that very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'd say it's fascinating to look in depth at a picture like this, because you always see things that you don't see initially. You have to really look, and you discover something new. I can't believe that there's just two colours in that background. And did you
That's all
say
there is. Yeah.
why you chose sand over dark grey? That does that that I would have thought dark grey all the way with a picture like this.
That I think that I've had so much success with the sand recently, and the bear, the last one I did, and the one before that, I also did it. I think, no, I didn't. That was with the squirrel, wasn't it, with the dark background. But I've used a few sand coloured back pastel map boards, and I'm confident with them. So I thought, I must admit, I was looking at that thinking, should I use UART paper? Because I've got UART paper as well, which I've been promising I'm going to be doing another one, but I'm not sure yet. But no, I don't. But again, I would have thought that would I be able to just put a very dark background on the sand coloured paper? Well, the answer is yes, I can. And it worked because I still had that sand colour as a backcloth, really, for all of the colours that I used in the lion's body, face, and fur. And there's a lot of colours. Again, I can't remember them now of colours, but there's a lot of colours, a lot of Caran d'Ache colours as well in this one, because the Caran d'Ache is very soft. And when you use Caran d'Ache with Faber and Crella colour and a bit of Carbothella, you can usually work out almost perfectly the feel or the texture of the fur that you're trying to achieve. You can actually do that, and that's very rewarding. You don't have to compromise. I don't like doing that. I don't like compromising. I like to be able, if I see the fur looking like that, I want to reproduce it like that. And this, again, the sand colour, I think, helped in this particular instance. It probably works on others' paper as well, Steve. I'm not forcing people to use it. It's just that when I use it, I kind of fairly confident that it's going to turn out well.
Well, it's good to see, because that you can get such a dark background. It does. I couldn't tell. If you'd said that was on dark grey, I would have gone, yeah, sure. If it was on sand, I would have gone,
Yeah.
okay, like, amazing. But it just goes to show that you don't have to choose a dark mid-tone paper, and you can still, with two colours, get that extreme dark as a background. And it's so funny. I look at that picture and I go, I can see Caran d'Ache in that picture, because they have such a,
Can you? Yes.
especially those tones, those ochrery sandy tones, like 542, which is a great color, is such a unique color that you can't get in other ranges. It just
You
feels
can't, you
it. I
can't.
can just see that one and I go, there's definitely Caran d'Ache in that, because they have such a distinct color palette.
But if you would just use Caran d'Ache on their own, you wouldn't have quite the same effect. You've got to have not necessarily Carbothella. You probably could do without them, but you can't do without the Faber. The Faber gives a kind of rigidity to a structure. I hope I'm making sense to this, to the animal. And then the Caran d'Ache embellishes that. You see what I mean? Without that, I mean, you could use Caran d'Ache from the beginning, and I'm sure I could make a fairly good job of it. But I wouldn't make a satisfactory job of it from my point of view, because the Faber is a good, stable product, and it's that I use. Always reach for that first. And I'm sure Carbothella users, and we've got quite a few of them, w wouldn't agree with me. Well, that's fine. I mean, if they can go ahead and do what they do, but they may well have to use, if they want to get that same effect, you're going to have to use some Caran d'Ache for. If you want to make a really good job, after all, what I've done with this one, I've labelled this artist, what advance, That's what I've said. It's an advanced picture. Now, normally I backtrack on that, don't I? I say, well, yes, it's advanced, but let intermediate people have a go at it. Well, I do still say that, but you're not going to get the same effect unless you've got an advanced experience with animal work, particularly. You're not going to be able to achieve that. I struggled a little bit. Fortunately, not too much, but I did struggle a little bit to get that kind of a feel that I wanted. And if I hadn't had those at hand, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Interesting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and it looks fantastic. It looks great. I'm sure people are going to be itching to give that one a go. So, yeah, that's lovely. Well, thanks for talking to us about
seriously,
that.
There is one other point, if I might interject a moment on this one, which again surprised me. And again, I've mentioned this a few times now. If you look at the eye, you think, God, that really looks good. Gosh, you must have spent hours on that. I didn't. My minimalistic viewpoint at the moment, I use as little colours as I can get away with and don't mess about with it. It just goes in as I feel it should go in. And you get a kind of originality by not actually fiddling about and changing this and changing that and putting that colour on top of this and, oh, that doesn't work. So, you know what I mean? That eye surprised me a bit. Because in the past, if people seen my eyes, they would say, gosh, you take so much trouble over them. Well, I wouldn't say I don't take trouble over this, but I do try to do it as easily as I can without making it too complex. And I think these things come out. If you look at those eyes, they seem to have a reality of their own. And I think that's the reason I do it. I don't have it. It's not been tampered with, for want of better words. I'm using very poor grammar here because I can't express it any other way. But that's something I really think I ought to mention now. Because people can see it now, and then when they see me actually doing it, they think, gosh, you're right, you didn't work very hard on that, did you? I think
that's a good selling point. That might be a good selling point, though, for people. And I think this is what makes your courses quite accessible, even for those that are less experienced or more experienced. They can see kind of the simplicity over not how easy it is to do, but how the approach, you know, of technically, theoretically, the approach behind it.
I think sometimes, Steve, you've got to go through, to make something work like that, you've got to go through the mill and have tried all the other systems. And then you come out at the end of the day with a simplistic approach, because you take all the things that you've learned and then think, right, I don't have to spend hours on this. I can just make it so that it's as fresh. Now, that's another word that I should have used there, is fresh. I hope people understand that. Anyway, that's how I viewed that.
Yeah.
But I was very pleased with it when I finished that, because it is a tricky one. And but it, like everything else, it's going to be people will find that out for themselves.
Lovely. Lovely. Okie dokie. Well, that's a fantastic, great picture. Look forward to releasing that one in the future. We do have another class coming very, very soon, hopefully in the next week. It's nearly there on the site, so we'll be able to release that and launch that, and we'll show everyone that next week. What's next for you, Dad? What are you planning? You've got another one lined up yet?
Yes, I have. I've got it all set up already. I haven't got the pencils ready yet. And do you want me to tell you what it is, or shall I not say anything about it? I just tell you.
Let's save it for next week.
Yeah, okay. It's a similar idea to the last one. Another dark background.
Great.
So but a completely different subject. But an animal again, but it's not. It's not. I won't say any more. Let's leave it at that. Not a man, but a dark background definitely, and an animal. So there's two things that. But it's going to be, again, it's something I haven't quite done anything. I've done the animal before, but I haven't done anything quite like this before. So again, something different for me. Interesting.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, excellent. Right, well, we'll leave it there. Look forward to seeing what you're working on next week, Dad. In the meantime, thank you everyone for listening and watching us. That's it for this week. I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
Enjoy
your week.
Enjoy your week.
We missed out on that, didn't we, today? Well, some in the old days, you used to be able to put those two together, couldn't you? But it doesn't seem to be able to work quite the same when we're visual.
I had a cat meowing through that. I had to mute my microphone. Yeah, I had a cat. There was a cat meowing at the door wanting to come in. They can see the lights on. They can hear me. And they want to come in and just... just get all over the laptop. They're very needy cats. They're lovely cats, but they just don't want to be without you. They just run around with you all day.
Lovely. Well, in a couple of years, you'll have a little one coming along. Daddy, daddy, yeah. Daddy. Bang, 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 bang on the door.
So we'll talk about the lion today, yeah?
Yeah. Ask me questions about it, and, as you do.